I was reading through some articles this week, and I ran across an interesting one. It was originally published in The Atlantic earlier this month, and it says, science says lasting relationships come down to two basic traits. Now, normally I don't quote science, but it's interesting in this particular case because really they're not claiming anything new. They're documenting what really every one of us knows. Basically, the article was about the factors that show why certain relationships survive. Why do they last versus other ones? And it really came down to two basic factors: kindness and generosity. Probably not all that surprising. But it did make important points. And while the article was basically about marital relationships, as I was reading through it, I realized, you know, it's the same factors that really play into all relationships. Those within the church, those that you have at your job sites, those within the family, not just husband and wife, but between parents and children, between siblings. Those two factors are how we can say whether a relationship between two people is going to last or not. And it's not true because some scientists have sat down and measured it or whatever, but the truth actually is because it's what God says. It just took science a long time to figure out, but God was right. One of the things that was interesting as we're looking at it is, there it goes, a little delayed, is when relationships break down, the people that get involved get physically revved up. They might look calm on the outside, but the researchers found that they had all sorts of probes and stuff like that. They found that the people, they looked calm, but their heart rate was going up. Their breathing got heavier. They started sweating more. Whenever they had to react with and talk with or deal with their spouse. And it always was dealing with the ones where the relationship was breaking down. In other words, their bodies were basically going into flight or fight mode. When they had to deal with another person, they were either preparing to attack someone, or they were getting ready to get attacked. And the attitude made the couples more aggressive towards each other. For instance, one of the quotes was, "Well, why don't you start talking about your day? It won't take you very long." Just these snide little remarks. And of course, that breeds anger. You see, in Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29 and in verse 22, it says, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions." When we get angry, we start saying things that we really know we ought not to say. But it comes out because we kind of blurt it out. The people who are able to maintain good relationships, though, are calm. They feel connected to the other person. And it translates into their behavior with the other person. It's warm. It's affectionate. Even when they fought, even when they disagreed, they still treated each other with affection. Take a look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 22. "What is desirable in a man is his kindness. And it is better to be a poor man than a liar." That is what most of us want out of other people. We enjoy being around people who are kind. In Proverbs 16 and verse 24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words make people calmer. They feel more connected with the other person for good reason. It actually benefits the other person. It's healthier. See, when there's a climate of trust and intimacy, then both are comfortable. But you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, we've talked about this passage before. It's actually a passage about the relationship between Christians. It's oftentimes read about husband and wives, but it's really talking about how you and I get along with each other. That we are to have love for one another. And it says, love is patient. And we talked about in the past, when do you need patience? When the other person sometimes you feel like is annoying. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked. Does not take an account of wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When we're trying to maintain a relationship, which is what we ought to be striving with in this congregation, any congregation you go to, that you're a part of, maintaining a relationship with one another. When you're talking about a marriage and you're maintaining a relationship with your husband or your wife, maintaining a relationship with your family, whichever relationship you're talking to, it really comes down to how you treat the other person. It's, you know, it's sad. I've been in situations where you feel like you're gun shy. You just never know when something's going to explode, and you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I just know it's going to happen sometime. It puts a strain on the relationship. It's when you know the other person has your best interests at heart. When they're going to find the best way to look at things, that things get better. In one study that was mentioned, it said throughout the day, partners would make requests for connection. For example, say that a husband is a bird enthusiast and notices a goldfinch fly across the yard. He might say to his wife, look at that beautiful bird outside. He's not just commenting on the bird here. He's making a request for a response from his wife, a sign of interest or support, hoping that they will connect, however momentarily, over a bird. Now, as minor as it might sound, the husband thought it was important enough to bring it up in a conversation. And so how will the wife respond? How do you respond when somebody mentions something, brings it up, whether it's your spouse or somebody else at work? How do you act? See, there's three different ways you could respond in a rocky relationship, is what they noted, and it's true. One way of responding is you just don't respond at all. A person who responds to a bid to converse might mumble, while he still keeps focusing on whatever he's reading, or his tablet, or his television. And by the way, I've been guilty of that. Or someone wants to mention good news. Let's say, I got into med school. Be greeted with, that's nice. While the person goes back to checking whatever he's checking on. The neglect creates a distance between people. It breeds resentment. It basically says, whatever's you're interested in, I'm not. Another way people can respond negatively is just respond minimally and then continue going on about whatever they're doing. We'll take the same example. I got into med school. And he responds, you won't believe this. Yesterday I won a free t-shirt. Has nothing to do with what's being asked about. Changes the topic. There's no connection. Or there could be a response with hostility. Again, I got into med school. And he responds, well, how are you going to handle all that studying? What about the cost? Med school's too expensive. Shooting it down. This is just a simple example, but think about how we react with people. How we converse with them. See, couples with a solid relationship stop what they're doing and respond with interest. In fact, it was noted in the study during it was a 6-year study. And the ones during the couples during that divorce 6-year study, the ones who ended up divorced only responded with interest 1/3 of the time. Couples who stayed together responded with interest 90% of the time. And we're not talking about every single time, but they're at least an expression of interest. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Think about what that's actually saying. You know, there are, even in relationships within, you know, church or at work or among friends, there are people who bring up topics just to get a conversation started. How do you respond? Are you devoted to one another? Giving preference to the other person? Or is whatever is currently occupying your attention more important? Down in verse 15 of chapter 12. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Here again is the idea of connection. When there's something great happening, does that make you feel happy too? Someone is sad, does that affect your life too? See, being there for each other when things go right is very important. So, you know, when the announcement goes in, I got into med school, the response should be, that's great. When did you find out? When do you start? Encouragement. There's an interesting passage in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and in verse 30. It says, bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bone. You look with interest when somebody announces good news? Are your eyes all glossed over because you really don't care? You perk up when somebody else says, hey, I got great news. Or you just slouch. Another factor that they noticed was people's expectations. I've caught on this quite a while ago. But how people view other people affects how they act. Whether you react with kindness and generosity or contempt, criticism, hostility, it's mostly based on how you view the other person. In good relationships, the people are constantly looking for things that they can appreciate, that they can express gratitude over. They purposely build an environment of respect and appreciation. Now think about that. Think about how you react to somebody. Do you look for the good? Are you looking for things that you congratulate people on? Are you looking for things that you can praise a person on? Take a look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32, and look at verse 8. It says, but the noble man devises noble plans, and by noble plans he stands. The noble man thinks about, devises, plots out how he can do the very thing he's trying to accomplish. Kindness makes each person feel cared for, understood, validated. How do you become a generous person? I don't necessarily mean by generous as far as giving out money, but generous with your praises. See, it doesn't come by accident. It's somebody sits down and figures it out and decides that's what I'm going to do. The more someone receives and sees kindness, the more they're kind in turn. It spreads too. Take a look at the Proverbs 31, the description of the ideal wife, the ideal woman. One of the attributes and one of the praises about her in Proverbs 31, verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She speaks kindness, and it spreads to other people because you see the praises that are coming back to her. Just example, try thinking about, you know, being generous with other people's intentions. We're so quick to decide why somebody did something. Just give you an example. Assume the husband left the toilet seat up. Perhaps he did it because there were too many things on his mind and just simply forgot. You know, often a person is trying to do the right thing, even if it's done poorly. What you ought to do is look for and appreciate the intention. You know, when your son unexpectedly cleans up the kitchen, don't mention that he didn't wipe off the stove. Appreciate the intention. He's cleaning the kitchen. He doesn't normally do that. Instead of trying to find some fault. And see, that's what we're talking about, being generous with our kindness. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In other words, when you see something, look at for the good in it. When there's something irritating, don't just assume that they're doing it just to get at you. Try to find reasons to say, well, okay, I can understand that. See, in a bad relationship, people are looking for mistakes. There's some people who delight in scorning. Not that I'm saying that we always do this way, but we got to understand that we don't want to fall into this trap. Take a look at Proverbs 1 and verse 22. Proverbs 1 verse 22 is talking about wisdom. And she says, "How long, O you naive one, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." There are some people who seem to get delight in never believing anybody else, making a mockery, making fun of other people, not wanting facts. One of the studies noted that contempt is the number one factor that tears couples apart. When one person has contempt for the other person. In fact, in our reading today, or actually just before our reading, we're going to get to our reading here shortly. In Isaiah 57, look at verse 4. Isaiah 57, verse 4 says, "Against whom do you jest? Against whom do you open wide your mouth and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of rebellion, offspring of deceit?" God's talking about people who are making others brunts of jokes, making a mockery of people who are trying to do what's right. One of the studies noted people who focus on criticizing miss 50% of the positive things the other person's doing. They miss half of it. They just don't notice it. And they, on top of that, they see negative things that don't even exist. They'll reinterpret things as negative. You know, the toilet seat, assuming the husband deliberately left it up just to annoy his wife. Or the wife is late for dinner date and the husband assumes that she doesn't value him enough to show up even on time. And even after he made reservations and left work early to get to the date, and it could be she just stopped to get him a gift and the line was longer than she expected. See, we jump to conclusions based on our expectations, not on facts. And we need to cultivate an attitude where we are expecting the best from people. Again, from our reading, I want you to take note in Isaiah 58, verse 9. When God was saying that the Israelites were messing up their fastings, he says, "Then you will call the Lord and he will answer. You will cry and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday." I think what he means by the pointing of fingers is exactly what? Accusing people. Stop. He's basically saying, stop accusing people of things. There are facts that somebody's doing wrong. That's one thing. But we sometimes see things wrong when there is nothing wrong. That tears apart relationships. It even affects a person's health. See, relationships filled with contempt and criticism, they even noted in the study, it reduces the other person's ability to fight off viruses and even cancers. They saw a higher rate among bad relationships. But take a look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." The way people are treated affects their health. You know, if you go through Proverbs, there's four times a warning against a contentious wife. And Proverbs 21 verse 19 is one of those. Proverbs 21 verse 19, it says, "It's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman." Contentious means somebody who's never happy. always finding fault. Never satisfied with whatever you do. There's a reason why he's saying you're better off in the desert land. It's healthier. Living in that type of environment destroys a person. We need to be a people who are generous in our praises. Think about how we exercise kindness. Think of it as a muscle that grows stronger the more it's used. See, a good relationship requires sustained hard work. So even when you're tired, you're stressed, you're distracted, you still need to respond positively to the other person. As Jesus pointed out in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, Paul says, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And how often we come home from the office and expect to be taken care of and pampered. Even when we're having a hard time, we ought to be giving. Like I said, it's not necessarily the giving of gifts or giving your spouse a back rub. Or the most important aspects of kindness are the ways people interact daily. You give kindness with attention. You can be generous with your assumptions of other people's intentions. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Or take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Seek to build people up. You know, the hardest thing during a fight is to remember that. But it's also the most important time to remember that. In Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just to please ourselves. We got to remember, we're not here to please ourselves. And in a relationship, we should not be acting as if this is all about me. You know, it doesn't mean that if you're having a disagreement that you aren't angry. But kindness is what you do to choose to express yourself. So you can throw spears and attack the other person, or you can explain why you disagree. Contentiousness, where you always find fault with somebody, all that does is stir up strife. Take a look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 21. Like coal to hot embers or wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. If you can only see fault with somebody, of course, all you're going to get is anger. Now, in a bad relationship, somebody might say, you're late. What's wrong with you? You're just like your mom. Good relationship, you know, it's annoying that you're repeatedly late. So what happened? See, one's an attack on the person. One's insulting. The other expresses, here's what I find annoying. Tell me why it's happening. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 14, We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And too often times we make exceptions to the ones that are closest to us. You know what the difference is? There's a study in 2006 by Shelley Gable who found that the only difference between couples who were together and those who broke up was whether they actively and constructively responded in conversation. When they talked to each other and they tried to help the other person, that was the factor that predicted whether somebody was going to break up or stay together. See, when you deal graciously with somebody, it gives stability. Take a look at Psalms 112. Psalms 112, starting with verse 5. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment. He will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is held upheld, and he will not fear until he looks with satisfaction upon his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. When we deal graciously with other people, whether it's with monetary means or with our words or how we deal with people, gives us stability. Because we're knowing the right relationship with God. It really comes down to whether you seek to tear down, or you build somebody up. In Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands." How are we dealing in our relationships? Are we tearing things down with our own hands, or are we building things up? It really comes down to the way we act with kindness and when we treat people with graciousness. Hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone who is a child of God, would like the prayers of brethren to be had, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.